I was really, really excited about Hanukkah. Still really excited about Hanukkah. But I was really excited because it's cold in the army, and it was just something that I was looking forward to be with my friends. I was in a religious unit and light candles together. I was looking forward for a very long time. So I remember I had a shift. Perfect. It was Hanukkah right before Shabbos, the first night of Hanukkah, and I had my shift earlier. And I was going to be with all the guys. I wasn't on shift and lighting Hanukkah candles together. I was taking a little nap on Friday afternoon. And they wake me up and say, "Yalla, Keith, they switched it. It's your time to go on shift right now." It was a switch. So I realized at that moment, it was like, that if I went, and they said, "You have to quickly go to your shift." I realized if I went to my shift right away, so that I wouldn't be late for my shift, because you don't want to be late for a shift in the army. So I would not be able to light Hanukkah candles. It was like 4 o'clock, so I could technically light Hanukkah candles then. It was like past Flag Mincha, but if I went directly to my shift, I'd miss Hanukkah lighting. And I'd been looking forward the whole day to lighting Hanukkah candles. It really wasn't my fault. So part of me said, "Do what? Quickly go light Hanukkah candles, and then go run and go to my shift 5 minutes late. It's not my fault, right? Be a good halachic Jew." And then I thought about it, and I didn't do it. And I went to my shift, and then as on time, and then I was saying goodbye to my friend, I said, "Could you have me in mind for the lighting?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And that Hanukkah, he lit for me. I didn't light the first night of Hanukkah. And I had a lot of time to think, because that's what you do in the army, you think a lot. And I was thinking that if I would have chosen to light candles instead of being on time to fight for Am Yisrael, I totally would have missed the point. Why? Because why do we light the Hanukkah candles? What's it all about? I mean, it's about a lot of things we're going to learn about. But what's the on this most basic level, most simple level, what are we commemorating when we light the Hanukkah candles?
Miracle.
What miracle?
Oil lasting.
Oh, so one answer is the oil lasting, but what's the other miracle that we commemorate?
Us defeating them.
That we defeated the Greeks, right? So if instead of actually defending the Jewish people and fighting for us and being on time for my shift, I would light a candle to symbolize how we should fight for the Jewish people, well, that would just be ironic and silly, you know? So instead, I came on time to my shift, I fought for the Jewish people, and I had my friend Bio to me my obligation. So that was what I did. I think that was one right decision I made in life. But the real question that this story is trying to show us is, what's the real miracle? What are we really celebrating on Hanukkah? Are we celebrating the fact that a candle lasted for a very long time, which is pretty awesome and miraculous? Or is there a bigger, deeper idea? Or are we celebrating the war? Right? That's the question that we're all dealing with. Now, if you look in the main Gemara, which talks about Hanukkah, the answer seems to be pretty simple. If you guys look at your source sheet, Shabbos Chof Aleph, I'm in bed. Shabbos Kunis. My Hanukkah. What's Hanukkah? What's the deal? What's this whole holiday? The Tan Rabbanan, because the rabbis taught us, but Chofi B'Chesleis, Yom HaChanukkah, Tamanya Inon D'lo L'Misbed Ben V'lo L'Tanus Ben. We don't fast, we don't eulogize. Then, why? I didn't make enough photocopies, I apologize. So if you guys want, I just look in, or somebody can make some more photocopies. Somebody knows
there's extras.
We have a few extras. Two extras? Oh, I do have. No. Yeah, I have one extra. There we go. If you gave, you're like the Hanukkah candle. You give, you get. It never runs out. You're about. Awesome. So what are we celebrating? The Greeks impurified all the light. And when we won the war, they only found one candle. Not so yamim. Okay, a miracle happened, and the oil lasted for 8 days, and that's why we celebrate Hanukkah. So, according to our holy sages in the Gemara and Shabbos, what seems to be the focus of Hanukkah? On a simple level, if we just read this Gemara, what's the focus? Is it about the war, or is it about the oil?
The oil.
The oil, right? It mentions as an aside, by the way, there was a war, we won. But the main thing that it's talking about is this miracle of the oil, which is a little bit strange, right? Because a lot of miracles have happened in Jewish history. So why make such a big deal about this one and not about the fact that we got sovereignty over the land of Israel? Yeah? It's a good question. It's a good question. And to make the question stronger or just different, at other points, we do stress the war more. So, for example, in the Al Anisim Tefillah, if you look in the source sheet, you read through it, does it mention anything about the candles?
No one.
Not even mentioned once. Right? It's all about the war. It's all about the war. And in fact, the scholars amongst us know that in Sefer Maccabim, which is the historical book, talking about the wars, it's on the source sheet, but it does mention the miracle of the oil. It's not in there. Apparently not everyone knew about it. So historically, it seems like, obviously, the oil wasn't that big of a deal, but for some reason, the sages are stressing this idea of the oil. Okay, and there's a lot of theories as to why this is. We don't have time to go into all of them. But clearly, there's some symbolism, something deep going on here with the oil and with the fire that will not be extinguished. Okay, so now the question is, where have we heard this concept before of a fire that won't be extinguished, that won't...
Moshe
Rabbeinu. Oh. The burning bush. Amazing. Awesome. That's why we brought Yaniv. You guys know Yaniv? Yaniv is a good friend of mine. He learns next door at the Halega Eish Yeshiva. And Yaniv is showing us Source 3. That's the first time we encounter a fire that will not be extinguished is in the story of the burning bush. Yeah? Nachon, exactly. So we'll talk about that. Also, the other famous time, of course, is the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. Excellent. But we'll go one at a time. If we examine the story of the burning bush, perhaps we'll understand what the symbolism is, what the meaning behind a burning candle that won't be extinguished is. Make sense? Okay, so let's look at it inside. So, Parak 3. Moshe ya roa et son Yitro chotno. Moshe was shepherding. And Vayinaget haton achar midbar ve'el ha'alim choreva. Goes to Choreva. Vayera malach Adonai elav belabat ha'esh mitoch hasne. Vayar hine hasne bo'er be'esh v'hasne enenu ukal. And he sees an angel of the Lord in the bush, and he looks, and behold, the sneh is on fire, and the sneh will not be extinguished. Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe says to himself, Asura na, let me stop. Var'et amara hagadol azeh, let me look at this amazing sight. Madua lo yivar sneh, why won't it get extinguished? Vayar Hashem kisar lirot veikra elav Elohim mitoch hasneh v'yomer Moshe Moshe v'yomer eneni. And God sees that he stopped to see, and God calls to him v'yomer al tikra v'alom, take off your shoes, that, and God reveals himself to him. Okay, so the first time that we encounter a fire that will not be extinguished is in the story of the burning bush. The first time that God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Pretty cool. Okay, so maybe the fact that on Hanukkah we're lighting Hanukkah candles has something to do with the message that we're supposed to glean from the burning bush story. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So let's go a little deeper. What is the lesson of this burning bush story? So which verb appears over and over and over again in this story? Which verb does the Torah continuously, not just in this story, but Vayera. Vayera. Over and over and over, the Torah points out that Moshe saw. God sees, Moshe sees. There's a lot of seeing here. Okay? Not only that, but we have a whole pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu stops and he says, wait, Asura na, I will stop. And I will look at this flame. Why will it not be extinguished? Okay, which seems to be a very unnecessary pasuk. So Rabbi Foreman points out that it seems like one of the big lessons of the burning bush story is that if you want to have God revelations. If you want to have God in your life, if you want to feel God's presence, what do you need to do?
Look for it.
You need to stop and you need to look for it. You need to look around. You need to notice things. You need to take your time, right? You don't just eat that pizza. You stare at it. You say a long bracha. And then you're going to see the holy spark. So if you're just running through life, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And Moshe only saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he stopped and stared and looked. Yeah? Pretty cool. So isn't it amazing that that's really the whole idea, or one of the main ideas behind the Hanukkah candles, right? We all know that technically, of course, you could just light the candle and, you know, you're yotze. But what's the minhag of the Jewish people tomorrow night when we're looking at the candles? What do we do? We say beautiful, beautiful brachos. Nachon, we say beautiful.
No, but I mean, isn't that one of the mitzvot?
Yeah, that he did amazing miracles for our people, 100%. But besides for saying those brachos, what do we do?
Cook.
We what?
Cook.
We do cook. Cook a lot of stuff.
No, Yiddish.
We cook Yiddish?
Cook is luck.
Oh, cook is luck. Oh, I don't know Yiddish.
That was a mitzvah, just look at the candles.
Exactly, 100%. There's a mitzvah to just stare at the candles. That's, by the way, why we sing the Malva Sor song. And I never thought, it's to make sure that we actually stare at the candles. Okay? In fact, women have a custom for a half hour, and Hasidim do this as long as possible, preferably a half hour every night, just sing and daven. I try to like just play guitar because it helps me just meditate and daven. And just look at the candles. And Rabbi Nachman says that when you look at the candles, it's fixing your eyes. It's fixing your eyes for the whole year when you stare at those candles and just be present and just look. And just look for a Kaddish Baruch. So isn't it amazing that the first time that we encounter fire in the burning bush, that the lesson seems to be stop and look, and that's also one of the main lessons behind the Hanukkah story. Everyone with me? Adkan, we're cool? Just to bring the point home, where else do we see a fire that won't be extinguished?
Olmoed,
nachon. That's 100% true. But where, even before Olmoed, do we see a fire that won't get extinguished in Jewish history?
In the Midbar.
In the Midbar, we have the fire that's showing them wherever they go. 100%. I'm looking for another example. Those are also true. Mizbeach, the fire that will never be extinguished. 100%. One more that people don't think about as much. Har Sinai. Right? We don't think about it so much, but at Har Sinai, look in Shemot, Yutet Yudchai. Har Sinai asan kulo mipnei asher yarad elav Hashem be'esh. When God reveals himself at Har Sinai, which, not coincidentally enough, was at the same place that the burning bush happened, there too there's a fire that won't be extinguished. The fire of God, it won't be extinguished, and maybe another lesson too is if you want to have God revealed to you in your life, you want to have Har Sinai experience, you need to connect back to that burning bush experience of stopping and staring and just looking and being in the moment and being present. Everyone with me so far?
Yeah.
Gevalt. And this leads me to one of my favorite vorts that I love to give over. Me and my friend Yisrael, like, I live in the Rovo, I love to visit. We have a running joke. Every year, he asks me the exact same Hanukkah question. I always give him the same answer, this one. He never likes it. He gives me his own answer. You can go visit him, he'll give you his answer. But the question is the question of the Beis Yosef. It's called the Beis Yosef's Child. Kasha is very famous.
Oh.
Everybody knows Akasha. Akasha is, why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? Really, we should only celebrate 7 days.
Because one day was a miracle.
Because the first day wasn't such a miracle. The candle lasted. You know, the candle was supposed to last on that first day. Only the next 7 days were miraculous. So why do we celebrate? And there's a lot of awesome, beautiful answers. The war and the miracles and all sorts of beautiful explanations. But one of my favorite answers, not my favorite, is given by the Marbe Chaim. It's quoted in source Hey, or Avram Chaim Brim Zatzal. That says like this. In 1492, right? It was Hanukkah. I was in Rav Velvel, Vamali Az Vashem, Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelm. I don't think it's 1492, whatever it is. I think the years are different. But in any case, Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelm was asked this Shiloh of the Beis Yosef. Mashdiretz alakusha nudat shel Beis Yosef. Halamaika abunis Hashem, and Gamal Yom Arishon, Halo Ayadai Shemen Avor Yom Rishon. the question we just asked. Tiret Rav Simcha Zissel, Sheha Gufo Sheshemen Bo'er V'Dolek, Hare Hu Gamnes. He said, the fact that a little oil can burn, even and a little when we're lighting our regular candles, that too is a miracle. V'chen amru tainis, misha amar l'shemen v'yidlok, yamar l'chometz v'yidlok. We know the famous story that the one who said that fire should light on fire can also take vinegar and say vinegar can light on fires. Okay? Every moment God has to breathe life into existence. This pizza does not exist. God is not saying, let there be pizza. Let there be pizza. Let there be pizza. Right? So the 7 days of Hanukkah, we're celebrating the miracles that were miraculous, that were out of the days of nature. But the first day of Hanukkah, what are we commemorating?
The military.
What are we celebrating? The military is one answer. But he's saying a different answer. The miracle that oil burns. The miracle of life itself. Life is a miracle. Like the Ramban says it's very famously. It's just a miracle that we've gotten used to. It's a miracle that we see it every day. And so our eyes blind us to the fact that everything is a miracle. Ukisha Shamati Terezen, he says when he heard this answer, Yatsami Piv, I was so happy. And he's really, really happy. I hope you guys are also really, really happy. Because it's such a beautiful answer that Hanukkah is not just about commemorating the fact that God did miracles for us. It's about reminding ourselves as we stare at those candles that life is a miracle, that everything is a miracle. And only if we take time to meditate about that will we actually enjoy that the miracle which is life. Yeah? Everyone understand?
Someone doesn't like that answer.
Yisrael might like that answer, but he has a different answer that he likes to give.
Can you share it?
At the end of the show. Or even better, go ask him himself, because he loves giving it over. Yeah. That's why every year he tells us. Yes, you totally should answer. It's his favorite.
Awesome.
It's one of his favorite things to ask. Okay. And with this, I have to just say one of my favorite stories that I heard from Rav Moshe Weinberg. So, and I try to...
On Thursday night?
No, he gives a shiur, and I hear it every year. I like remind myself. It's a great shiur. So he tells this story about the Malbim. You guys know the story? The Malbim was a great rabbi, and one day he takes his little kids. He says, Kinderlach, children, I have something amazing to tell you. Come put on your Shabbos clothing. So they like get out of bed. You know, it's 5 in the morning. And he takes them outside and he shows them a sunset or a sunrise. He says, Kinderlach, it's a miracle. It's mamash a miracle. Never forget it. Gevalt. And I bless you guys to do that to your children. Bezrat Hashem. Just wake them up in the middle of the night and say, guys, it's a miracle as often as possible. Every single day, this is not just Hanukkah. Every single day we need to remind ourselves that life's a miracle, but Hanukkah is a special time to meditate upon that.
Oh.
Okay. So Adkan, we understand hidden allusion to the meaning behind the candle is the burning bush, going back to Har Sinai, going back to life is a miracle. So far we're good? Okay, awesome. I want to show you another hidden allusion to Hanukkah in the Torah itself. Now wait, you tell me, Hanukkah can't be in the Torah itself. Who established the holiday of Hanukkah? The holy rabbi. So how could it be? It's in the Torah itself.
Oh, this is gonna be cool.
And don't worry, it's not nothing against them. I love them, but it's not a Bible code. Even though we love Bible codes. I like Bible codes. But this is an even cooler.
Take the first letter of all of Moshe's different names.
Okay, so I want to show you a crazy Bible code. So watch this. God gives us holidays. Okay? Where do you tell us the holidays? In Vayikra, Perek Chavdalet. Okay. Chavgimel. If any of you guys want to look inside about some Vayikras so you can follow with me. I only brought 5, so sorry. Chavgimel. Perek Chavgimel of Parshat Emor. God goes through all the holidays.
No way.
Okay. Now watch this. Chavgimel. Okay, this is an insight that Rabbi Foreman showed me. Okay, watch this, guys. Okay, so the first holiday that God gives us is Rosh Hashanah. More.
What pasuk?
I'm an Aleph. I'm in 1. The first holiday is Shabbos. That's pretty interesting. Shiur of itself. why is Shabbos a holiday? Shabbos is the root of all the holidays. We'll talk about that later in the year. After Shabbos, what's the next holiday that we would expect the Torah would tell us about, guys? You close? Good idea, but no.
Sukkot.
Pesach. Look in Pasuk 5. Pesach Lashem. V'chmisha asad l'chodesh. Dat chagamasas. Truth is not Pesach chagamasas. Okay, after Pesach, what's the next holiday the Torah is going to tell us about?
Sukkot.
Close. Shavuos. Exactly. We have the 7 weeks of the Omer leading up to the Shavuos and the next Pesach in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel. Okay. After Shavuos, what holiday do we expect the Torah to
Shavuos?
Oh, very good. Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so if you look in Pasuk, let me find it. It's Chaf. Chaf.
Skipped Yom HaTzmur until
I get that done.
Sorry. Chaf Bet, we're still in Shavuos. Then we're talking about Zichron Shua is in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Rosh Hashanah. What's the next holiday after Rosh Hashanah, guys? Yom Kippur. Very good. So, Ach Basra L'Chodesh Tzvi, Yom Kippur. What's the next holiday after Yom Kippur, guys? Not Yom Kippur. Shmini Atzeret. Okay, what's after that? Sukkot. Exactly. And if you look in Pasuk Lamed Hey, you will see that Sukkot is talked about, and then Shmini Atzeret. Okay. Look in Pasuk Mem Dalid. Are there any other holidays mentioned after Sukkot?
No.
No? Those are the holidays. Biblically, there are only holidays. Interestingly enough, all of them are in the spring months. Okay, none of them are in the winter holidays. They're all agricultural holidays, and there's only those holidays. Right? Except watch this. The very next parak. Perek Chaf Dalid. What's the next law that the Torah tells us? Edber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Tzavet Bnei Yisrael Vikhu Alecha Shemen Zayit Zachkatit Lamaor Lalo Ner Tamid. And God says, take pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause a lamp to burn continually. And goes on and describes the mitzvah to light a lamp in the Beit HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan. Okay? Pretty crazy. In other words, perhaps the Torah is subtly alluding to what holiday?
Hanukkah.
Right? Not explicit, but built into the Torah, right in the holiday section, right after the holiday section, the very next law happens to be the mitzvah of lighting candles. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay? You can argue with it. I think it's pretty cool. Where's Purim? For another show. We'll save that for Purim time.
Wait, Rebbe, can you say though that they finished the Mishkan on the 15th, on the 25th of Kislev, and then they?
Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we will. Yeah, that's definitely connected. We're gonna, if we have time, we'll get back to that when they finished it on and the Mizbeach and the Menorah. We will Bezrat Hashem. We'll talk about it if we have time, God willing. But yeah, it's definitely connected. Okay. So that's illusion number 2 or 3. I don't know where we're holding. Okay. What's the that's very cool. But what do we learn from that? What's the takeaway? Other than the fact that's really cool. It is really cool. But so what? So how Hanukkah is subtly alluded to in the Torah. Well, I mean, one takeaway is that the Torah is divine and amazing and Hashem knows what's gonna happen in the future, which is, I mean, that's a pretty big takeaway in of itself. But perhaps you could say that something about Hanukkah is that you have to search for it. You have to really look for it. Look deep, deep, deep. And when you look for it, you'll find it. But you have to look for it. Okay? And it's hidden. Okay? It's not always going to be there. Yet to find the miracle of life, you have to look hard. And you have to look during those dark times. During those dark times, you have to search for Hashem. You will find it, but you have to search. Okay. Now, this is also a perfect segue into the next illusion, which I think this one's a little bit more clear, and that is the fact that we have a mitzvah to light candles. Okay, we have a mitzvah to light candles in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, we have a mitzvah to light candles, and so this is the most clear one. We know we light Hanukkah as a commemoration of the Beit HaMikdash candles. But let me ask you guys a question. Why do we have a mitzvah to light candles in the Beit HaMikdash? What's that all about?
Near Tamid.
The Ner Tamid. Okay, so what's that all about? What does it symbolize? Why do we light this candle? Why does the Kohen have the mitzvah to light a ner tamid every single day? What does that symbolize?
Hashem's always burning within us.
You're fair. Okay, awesome. Nothing crazy. Fair. I think on any Pashat level, the fire that was always burning in the Beit HaMikdash represents the Shekhinah, represents God's presence, which is manifest in the world. Okay, which we are supposed to be bringing into the universe, and the fire, which has that like really spiritual aspect, it's always yearning for something higher. It's rising up. So the fire reminds us of that spiritual aspect of life. Okay, now this is just not just a Hasidic vort that I'm telling you guys about. I think this is actually pretty explicit in the Navi. Okay. So, for example, if any of you guys have ever learned Treyasar, we have the story of Zerubbabel. Okay? Zerubbabel lived in which time period? Do you guys know?
Yes. Right after Ezra.
Excellent. Very good. Very good.
God,
wait, which one was it?
Before.
I think it was after. It was during Shivat Zion, which is when the Jews were coming back. They were being told by Darius and by Cyrus to come back to the land of Israel. Okay, and Zerubbabel was the political leader over the Jewish people at that time. Okay, and he Zechariah was the spiritual leader during that time period. Okay, so while Zerubbabel was telling the people to physically make Aliyah and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Zechariah had a different message. Zechariah was saying, if we want the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt, we need to do tshuva. We need to actually repent. It's not just good enough to do physical acts. We need to also do spiritual acts. And how does Zechariah evoke that idea? What imagery does he bring down? So Zechariah says, he tells this story about Vayashav Malach Advar Vayorini Kish Asher Yor Mishnato Vayomer Alai Mata Ra'eh. In this dream, he says, what do you see? Vayomer Ra'iti Vinei Menorat Zahav. There's a golden menorah. V'gula Al Rosha V'shiva Nerateh. And there's seven lights. Shiva V'shiva Mutzakot Lanerot Asher Rosha. U'shnaim Zaitim Aleah Achad Miyamin Agolah V'chad Asma. It goes through this whole description. So what? Yana Malach Advar Bimim Amar Lai Aloy Data Mai Mela Bamar Lo Hashem Yan Mi Amar Lai Lamar Zed Var Hashem Al Zerubbabel. This is the word of God to Zerubbabel. Lomar Lo Bechayel Velo Bekoach Kiim Beruchi Amar Hashem Tzvakot. What is the symbolism of the menorah? What does the menorah represent? Pshat. What does Zerubbabel say? Not by strength and not by power, rather by what?
Hashem.
By the Spirit of God. Okay, so the prophet Zechariah is teaching us through the menorah. What does the menorah symbolize? It's not about physical strength; it's about spirituality. The menorah represents, on a pshat level, spirituality. Okay, that's not so much a hidden illusion; that's a mefurish illusion. With this introduction, I can point out one final really cool idea. I'm going to butcher a really amazing shiur because I just don't have enough time, but you should look it up online, tanakh.org. Rav Liebtag has a full shiur about this, and it's an amazing insight. And I think Menachem Liebtag, he teaches at TVA, so I get this close to learn from him very often, and he has a beautiful insight. He asked the following question: why do we celebrate Hanukkah specifically on the 25th of Kislev? After all, the war was a long war. So what was it about the 25th of Kislev that we celebrate specifically on that day?
Okay.
Oh, so the traditional answer, you'll find the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch and most Sfarim, is that on the 25th day, Chanukah, they rested on the 25th of Kislev, right? Beautiful. But there's a problem with that. The problem is that it seems to be pretty clear in Sefer Maccabim that they finished the war before the 25th day of Kislev. Okay? They finished already in Cheshvan. So it seems pretty clear that they specifically chose the 25th day of Kislev And not that they just happened to finish off, but there was a reason why they chose that day. There was something special about the 25th of Kislev, and that's why they chose that day to celebrate on Chanukah. So what was it? Why did they choose the 25th of Kislev? So Rav Leibzig has a theory. There's a lot of proofs to this theory. Rav Leibzig, for example, the Greeks specifically chose to kill Jews on the 25th of Kislev. They chose that as the date to take Jewish children. So there's something special about this date. Even it wasn't just a coincidence that they happened to finish the war on the 25th of Kislev. So to understand it, Rav Leibzig points us to a prophecy in Sefer Haggai. Okay?
Is that a Treyasar?
It was also in Treyasar. In the exact same time period as Zerubbabel, the Zachariah that we were talking about before. And in chapter 2, verse 18, the prophet writes the following. Simuna levavchem. Listen up. Mina yom hazeh umala miyom esrim erba letshi'i. It was the 24th day of the ninth month. 9 months from Nisan is what day, guys? Is what month? 9 months after Kislev. 9 months after the 24th day of Kislev, he makes a prophecy. Lemina yom hashe yusad echal Hashem. For that was the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple began. So it was on the 24th day of Kislev, when in the time of Haggai, the Jews started rebuilding the Mizbeach of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? And on that day, Haggai started telling the people to come back to the land of Israel to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Now what happened to that prophecy of Haggai, that one day the Jewish people just need to come back and come to the land of Israel during the Second Temple era, and Mashiach will come and everything will be good. What ultimately happened to that, unfortunately? Do you guys know the story? What happened? Nothing happened.
No.
Why did nothing happen of it? Why didn't we succeed? Because the Jewish people didn't make Aliyah, and not enough people came, and therefore we had all the problems with Ezra and Nehemiah, that the Jewish people were fighting their enemies, and ultimately this prophecy of Haggai that was unfulfilled. Okay? And he gave that prophecy on the 24th day of the ninth month. Okay? Why was it unfulfilled? Because people didn't make Aliyah, and because, like Zachariah said, the people didn't do tshuva. They were intermarrying, and they weren't following in the ways of Hashem. Comes the Chashmonaim hundreds of years later, and they do fight a war. And they do come back and make Aliyah to have sovereignty over the land of Israel. And then, at that time period, there's a miracle. And what's the miracle? There's a miracle of the oil. Okay? And that miracle of the oil, what do you think it meant to them? What do you think it symbolized when that miracle of the oil, when that oil lasted 8 days? What do you think that the message of that miracle, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu telling them? Exactly. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Haggai and Zechariah that the Shekhinah is in your presence. That this is not just a coincidence, but this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu guiding this war. Okay? So it's probably not a coincidence that they chose specifically the 25th day of Kislev, the day after this original prophecy happened. It wasn't just that they finished, they rested on that day. They chose to dedicate the temple on the 25th day of Kislev and to make a holiday surrounding this miracle of the oil to remind themselves, to remind all of Jewish history that this is a miracle that was done by God. Okay? And that now, this is only the beginning, now we've got to start step two of rebuilding the Jewish people physically and spiritually. Okay, this is not just a miracle, but this is a mission for the Jewish people that we've got to now make this a holy spiritual state for the Mashiach to come. Okay? Get it?
Got it.
So now, did the Chashmonaim's prophecy, did they fulfill this promise of Haggai and Zechariah completely? Not exactly. Yeah. Not exactly. Because ultimately the Jewish people didn't follow in the ways of the Torah, and we didn't make fully do everything we were supposed to do. We didn't do it. Not completely, at least. But perhaps, by Amimahem Bazman Hazeh, perhaps that's another beautiful, beautiful message that Hanukkah has to teach us. That just, that happened 2,000 years ago, but Baruch Hashem, we're back in the land of Israel. We're back in the land of Israel. And we're lighting the Hanukkah candles. And maybe when we light the candles, we can be reminding ourselves that God, it's not a coincidence that God gave it back to us. And here's our third opportunity. Here's our chance. Here's our chance to not just do spirituality, but also physically, also come back to the land of Israel, and also settle the land of Israel and fight for ourselves. But not just physically fight for ourselves, but also we have the spiritual aspect, and we got to make this place a spiritual, ethical, amazing state so that Mashiach can finally come.
To just
take us full circle. I started off asking, is it about the oil or is it about the war? My answer, if you ask me, is really it's about the war. We're commemorating the fact that we won a war. But the candle was a sign. The candle was the sign reminding the Maccabees of the bigger idea behind the war, of God's presence with them when they fought that war, and reminding us what it's all about when we go out into the world and we're fighting our physical battles. That our mission in life is to remember the flame of spirituality, and Bezrat Hashem, I bless us all to bring spirituality into every act of physicality that we do. And that Mamash, the way to do that is by seeing all of life as a miracle. Never take anything for granted, and view every bit of life as a big bracha. And with that, we should all have an amazing time.
Amen. Amen. Amen.